for us in the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. And as you adjust, I would remind us, it's time out for playing church. Somebody ought to say amen. If you're not saved, today's a good day to get saved. If you're outside of the church, today's a good day to come under the covering of somebody's church. We invite you to be a part of our family. And if the Lord leads you to go somewhere else, hey, you got to do what you got to do. But the Lord don't want you out here under no covering, no place to call home, nobody lifting you in prayer. We invite you to be a part of our family, till the Lord leads you to go someplace better. You ought to get right with God while you still have the time. It's good to see you in this worship experience, but it's going to be better when church get inside you. It's good to see you in the church, but it's going to be better to see the church in you. And we invite you to handle your business here today. Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13 says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, he is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sounds of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. I want to wrap up my thoughts today now under this title, Rejoice Instead of Weep. Rejoice instead of weep. We've tried to organize my thoughts under this central thesis. We should rejoice more than we weep. We started off a couple of weeks ago talking about how the disparity between what we expect and what we really have can sometimes cause us to weep. When we think about how our sins have played a part in things being as bad as they are, it causes us to weep even more. And when the Lord has blessed you with advanced years and or responsibility, sometimes you get a clearer perspective on things and it challenges you to weep out loud. I think I kind of understand what's going on in the text. Especially the older generation had saw the first temple, and it was bigger and more grand than this second temple appeared to be. And they were frustrated because they thought that the best was going to be in front of them. And when they looked at that foundation, it appeared as if the best was behind them. I don't want to be insensitive to why they were weeping. But I want to say to you, if you're sitting here and you're looking at your life during this Christmas season and it's not what you want it to be, and you want to have a pity party from now until mid-January sometime, listen to what the preacher telling you. You ought to rejoice instead of weep. This is not time for a pity party. It's time for a praise party. And there are seven reasons why you and I ought to praise our way through this season. I started off by telling you that we ought to rejoice about what God has already done. That the people in the text were in Jerusalem rebuilding the temple instead of in Babylon crying about how I wish I could get back to Jerusalem. Second reason is that God's anger has been turned to love. It was anger that moved God to turn Israel over to Babylon, but it was love that brought him out of Babylon back to Jerusalem. Third reason we ought to praise the Lord and rejoice is because the best is yet to come. Foundation is not all that pretty, it's not attractive, but it promises that the building is on the way. And some of us have to learn how to praise the Lord, what I call an anticipatory praise. It is a praise that anticipates what God will do. Some of us only have acquisitional praise. We only can praise the Lord based on what we have acquired. But God's timing and our timing are oftentimes off and out of sync. And so you can't always wait until you acquire. Sometimes you got to anticipate what the Lord will do. Fourth reason we ought to praise him is because God is not restricted by our buildings or accomplishment. If you never build a temple, God is still good. If you never get the temple up, God was God before the temple, and God gonna be God after the temple. The building, no matter how big you make it, was never big enough to house the Lord. And therefore, if things never get right according to your definition, God is still worthy of our praise. The fifth reason we ought to praise him, I'm just reviewing. The fifth reason was rejoicing shows our faith and our obedience. Praising the Lord because I believe blessings are on the way, and then praising the Lord because he told me to. The Bible never said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so if they feel like it, if their bills are paid, if they don't have any aches or pains today, if all is well, then praise them. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It ought to be a continual praise. You ought not just praise him on the mountain. You ought to praise him when you're in the valley because he is still God. That's five reasons. Here come number six, new material now. Y'all ready? Sixth reason for rejoicing is it is therapeutic. The sixth reason, it is therapeutic. Praise just make you feel better. That's what I'm saying. It makes you feel better. Now, those of you who have praised him know that praise does not make your problems go away, but it can give you peace in the midst of pain and problems. It's true. Praise does not make the pain go away, but it can give you joy in your sorrow, peace in your confusion, hope in your despair. You can choose through praise to climb over the mountain of your circumstances and enjoy the therapeutic light of rejoicing. It's your choice. Now, you can decide, well, I'm just going to have a pity party that things are not well in my life. And, Pastor, you just don't understand how bad it is in my life. And you want me to sit and attend to you and keep eye contact and open posture and nod and let you get it all out and just spit it out. And you want to have a cathartic experience where you essentially vomit all of your negative feelings out on the table. And when you get finished, you find out that you still got a choice. You can waddle in how bad things are, or you can praise the Lord that things could have been worse, but things are going to get better if I just keep my hand in the master's hand. It's really up to you. If you want to keep crying, you can keep on crying. The preacher came by to tell you, you do have an option, however. You're crying because you choose to cry, even though I'm telling you praise is an option. Now, I am not suggesting that the new foundation is as big as the first. That's denial. Nobody's in denial. Things are not as well as you wanted them to be. But what I'm telling you is that God is still in this thing. That even though you're broke, God is still in this thing. Even though you're hurting, God is still in this thing. Even though your man left you, your woman left you, God is still in this thing, and he can work it all out for your good if you can just praise your way through. It is therapeutic. Now, the skeptic says, well, Reverend, listen, that's just some temporary psychological stuff. You're just psyching yourself out. It ain't changing nothing. Well, you might be, that might be true. It might be temporary, but I'd rather have temporary relief than ongoing weeping. I would rather have some psychological relief than no relief at all. Now, I think I'm in Bible territory. I don't think I'm making this up. I don't think I'm subscribing to Psychology Today. I think this is biblical. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, when they were rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem and they were running into opposition, Nehemiah, the leader, said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you hear the verbs? Did you hear what you ought not do and what you should do? Don't grieve. Do not grieve. The reason he's telling you do not grieve is because you have that option. You can grieve or you can choose not to grieve. He's instructing you, don't grieve. Then he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want to stay strong on the battle, you got to learn how to find joy in the Lord, not joy in your circumstances. I'm not happy about being broke. I'm not happy about having a house full of children and nobody to help me take care of them. I'm not happy about my circumstance. That's not what I'm happy about. But I'm happy about how the Lord is able to take what seems to be broke to me, fix it up better than it ever would have been without him. I am rejoicing in the Lord. And then if you need some New Testament, you do know that the fruit of the Spirit includes some joy. It's something wrong with a grumpy Christian. That's an oxymoron, a grumpy Christian. How you saved and never smile? Salvation and smiling, that stuff just kind of go. Stay on point, Reverend. Number seven, that was number six. This is number seven. Seven, the reason why we ought to rejoice, it is because it ministers to others. What is number seven? It ministers to others. Your rejoicing ministers to other people around you. Do you know attitudes are contagious? You can catch an attitude. I have gone to funerals, and while in the parking lot, I was good. I understand that we are born on our way to our date with death. Nobody stays forever. Heaven, by every account, is a much better place than being down here on planet Earth. I was good in the parking lot. When I got in the funeral service, it was the pain and grief of others that caused pain and grief in my spirit. Have you ever been good but saw somebody you love all bent out of shape, all crying, all tore up? And their pain became your pain? Have you been to this place? You caught their attitude of pain, but then on the other side, you can catch the attitude of joy. On just yesterday, I was up with my daughters, and they had a baby running around there, and they had given the baby a toy, a gift. The gift was wrapped in gift wrapping paper. They unwrapped the gift. The baby pushed the gift aside and wanted to play with the paper. So we took the paper away from the baby and gave him the gift. They didn't want the gift. They wanted the paper. And they had so much fun with the paper that I started laughing at how much fun the baby was having with the paper. And then I was laughing about how much money the mama done wasted on the gift. I caught the attitude of laughter and joy. And so it is then when we come to the worship experience, we ought to be able to catch an attitude of praise and rejoicing. We who are able to praise the Lord ought to praise the Lord so that those who are unable to praise the Lord can catch our spirit. Let me put it like this. You never know who needs your amen. You never know who needs your praise the Lord. You never know who needs your waving hand, your rock, your expression of praise. Let me put you in Bible territory. Romans chapter 15, 1 and 2. Romans 15, 1 and 2 says, we who are strong are to bear with the fallings or failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. When you come to the worship experience, you are not come settle in your favorite seat and essentially say, now entertain me. That's not what Christian worship is about. When you come to the Christian worship experience, you ought to come with an amen. I told you earlier that we ought to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You should have brought it with you. You ought not come and think somebody going to sing you up, pray you up, preach you up. You should have came in here, prayed up, sung up, praised up. So that when you get in here, somebody can catch your spirit of praise. Are you listening to me? Colossians 3:16, I don't want to linger there, but listen to 1 Corinthians 14:26. 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, what then shall we say, brothers, when you come together? Everyone, listen to that, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. I think I got good Bible foundation of why you ought to bring an amen with you. The reason you ought to praise and rejoice in the Lord is because it is here that we remind ourselves that in the midst of the census, in the midst of collecting taxes, in the midst of no room for baby Jesus in the inn, in the midst of making do with a manger instead of a bassinet, the Lord showed up and worked things out for the good of his people. It is here in the worship experience that we remind ourselves that not only was Jesus born, not only did he live, not only did he die as payment for our sin, resurrected, but we remind ourselves of the blessed hope of Advent, that he's coming back again. It's in the worship service that we remind ourselves that things can look so messed up on Friday, but if you keep the faith early, Sunday morning, it's coming. We remind ourselves, yes, weeping and wailing endures the night, but if you can keep the faith, joy comes in the morning. Our praise ministers to others. Are y'all here? Until then, one last review. I told you seven reasons why you ought to move past this pity party and weeping stuff and get over here on the praise party and the praise team. I told you, first of all, that God has already done good to us, what he's already done. I told you that God's anger has been turned to love. Number three, the best is yet to come. Number four, God is not restricted by our buildings or accomplishments. Number five, rejoicing shows our faith and obedience. Number six, it is therapeutic. And then number seven, it ministers to others. These now are my end notes. I noticed that there were some seniors and some juniors in the text. It was the older priests, Levites, family heads, people who had saw the first temple, who were weeping and crying about unmet expectation. And then it was some young folk that was praising the Lord so loud that you could hear them from far away. Well, when I look at that text, and look at this church that the Lord has sent me to pastor, I see some similarities. And so here then is a word to the senior saints, those who've been around for a while. Pastor came by to tell you, learn how to worship God instead of circumstances. I said, learn how to worship God instead of circumstances. Now, before you start pouting too much, listen to what I'm saying. If God was good enough to shout about in the good old days, and God has not changed, then why are you not shouting now? I think the only thing that has changed is the circumstances. Now, if you can't shout now, but you used to shout then, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, then maybe you were shouting about the circumstances and not shouting about God. I'm here to tell you, you should have been, and you ought to start praising God for being God, regardless of your circumstances. I know it's tight, but I'm right. And then I share with you that if you can't fake a praise, you ought to at least cover your weeping. If you can't fake a praise, if you can't just cough up one, if you can't reach in your back pocket and get a praise, then you ought to at least cover your face from weeping. Because to whom much is given, much is required. You don't want to get to heaven and find the blood of others on your hand. But that's exactly your risk, because you know the longer you hang around here, the more influence you gather. The more stripes, status, work you do around here, the more people look up to you as if you are a model, that I want to be like this person when I grow up. Well, nobody ought to aspire to be a bump on the log in worship. Nobody ought to want to be dead, dry in the worship experience. But when that is your model, I'm mighty afraid that not only will you have to answer for your own dry worship, but you will have to answer for the dry worship you have inspired in others. Let me go down this road. You'll like this little journey until you understand I'm talking about you. But come on, let's go down this road here. In the church of my upbringing, there was a Mother Mattie Clancy. Mother Clancy was always older to me. I mean, when you're 40 years old, you old to a five-year-old. I mean, so she was always older than me. But I remember in her younger days, when she got happy in worship, she would jump and she would shout. And you would have to understand, shouting is not really a big Baptist thing. Mama didn't care nothing about it being a Baptist thing. When Mama thought about all that cotton she used to pick and how she was up here in Buffalo now and she ain't thinking about picking no cotton, she said, I'm going to shout all over here. And she would shout. And she loved you, but she loved you hard. So if something was wrong, she'd just walk up on you and tell you what was wrong. She didn't care how you liked it or not. And then she'd just hug you and kiss you and just go on. She was through with it. So after she got it out of her mouth, she was through. And so you would just have to know Mother Clancy to appreciate her. But in her latter years, she wasn't able to shout like she wanted to shout. She couldn't just go walking and praising the Lord. In her latter years, she was on a cane, and she was scared to walk out by herself. She didn't want to fall and hurt her hip or anything. And so when worship got good to her, instead of her being able to shout and walk around like she used to, she just pulled herself up on the pew. And she would just stand there at the pew and just rock for us. Arthritis had kept her from raising her arm up as high as she used to raise it. But even in her latter years, she would at least wave at the Lord. She would at least give a little wave offering to let us know that she feel the presence of the Lord. That was Mother Clancy's example. That picture still lives vibrantly, vividly in my mind. When I think about having church, I can't think about having church without thinking about Mother Clancy. Mother Walker was the woman who tackled my father in Old Zion. Old Zion, my father built, relocated the church, built a beautiful edifice, added an addition onto it, marvelous building. But this happened in Old Zion. My father was getting it. He was pulling it. He was hooping, and you know, he was much younger then, and so he would just pull it and pull it and pull it. And I mean, he had four, five, six octaves. I mean, he was closing. Ooh. And Mother Walker said, if you don't hush, I'm going to come get you, preacher. Walker was from Alabama somewhere, and so Daddy thought she was playing, and he kept on getting it. Ooh, the Lord. Walker took her wig off her head, threw the wig at my father, and my father ain't had no better sense than to just keep on pulling it and blowing it and hollering. And then he was crazy enough to go down the center aisle hooping and hollering and got too close to Walker. Walker came out the aisle, tackled my father in the middle of the deacons had to come get Walker off my daddy. These are indelible images in my mind. When I think about worship, I don't picture people falling asleep. I can't get used to this all man type stuff. I can't get used to this. What you doing, baby? I'm praising the Lord. No, man, ain't that. That's what you do for Tyler Perry. When Tyler Perry come down here to the Aronoff Center and you like the production, you stand and you applaud. That was a good production. That was great. Thank you. No, when you come to worship, it ought to be a bigger experience. I don't know how in the world y'all can get so excited about the Bengals and can't get excited about Jesus. Now look at that forced praise right there. Y'all get real sensitive about these Bengals around here. I'm ready to move along after I say this. You remember as children, I don't know if y'all remember or not, as a child, we used to play church. And when we played church, we'd grab a pen, a ruler, anything we could find, a glass, whatever was around. We would grab that, and that would be our microphone. And somebody would stand up to the mic, and they would try to act all proper and speak all proper and exaggerate the R's and everything. They put some R's in words. It wasn't even an R in that word. They was trying to be the announcing clerk. Then you had somebody else who would get down on one knee, not both knees, one knee, and put your hand behind your ear, and they would simulate being the praying deacon. Then they would have somebody else, some lady would be out, some one of the girls would act like one of the shouting ladies in the church, and they would talk about praise the Lord, and they'd be jumping all over the place and shouting. They were emulating the shouting lady in the church. And then, of course, somebody had to play the preacher, and they'd be hollering and screaming, talking about early Sunday morning. That's how we played church. We had images that facilitated our playing church. I saw Brother Devon, he was up here for our church anniversary emulating me. And he was talking about how I review the membership orientation material. And that's good. If I had to leave an image, if I had to leave now and go to glory, that's a good image. Pastor was trying to get that Bible, salvation, discipleship, church stuff in us. And then he said, and this is a song pastor saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, that's good. That's a good legacy to leave behind. He always singing about this Jesus stuff. But now turn the spotlight from my autobiography. Turn the spotlight from me to you. If children are playing church today and they emulate you in the worship experience, what would that look like? Would it look like this? B- Baby, what you doing? I'm praising the Lord like brother. Girl sitting over in the corner like this here, making ugly faces, checking her watch. What you doing, baby? I'm acting like sister so-and-so. It's dangerous to send a wrong message because their blood will be on your hand. To whom much is given, much is required. Some of us have been in church too long for it to take so much energy to get an amen out of us. A word to the senior saints. Now I close with the junior saints. Those who haven't been around here too long, and every time we see you, you jumping and shouting all over the place. I got a few things to tell you, and we out of here. First thing I want to tell you is, first of all, sometimes you can learn by what people do, and then sometimes you got to learn what not to do by our example. I shared this morning that there were some preachers in my formative years. I was so impressed by them that I wanted to walk like them. I want to walk like a preacher and stand like a preacher and talk like a preacher. I was inspired by their example. And then there are times when you are inspired what not to do. I've seen people who've done good in their life, but then they got old and grumpy, that they don't want to be bothered with nobody, and every time they walk in the room, they tell you, I don't want to be here. You know what I've learned from them? When I don't want to be somewhere, don't go, Reverend. Don't bring your nasty attitude up in here. If you don't want to be here, ain't nobody got a gun on you. What you come here for? Why you walk in the door talking about, I don't want to be here. This ain't going to be nothing. I remember when. Baby, carry all that back outside the door. You know what I've learned? I've learned if I don't want to be a part of it, I ain't going down there. I've learned that by watching the nasty example of people who walk in the door complaining. Didn't nothing even happen yet, and you complaining. Young people, learn some do's and don'ts from our example. One thing I don't want you to catch is this dry worship stuff. I want you to understand that whenever there is a dry worship experience, it is not because God is dry, it's because the worshipers are dry. I want you to hear me. Whenever you come to the worship experience and it's a dead worship experience, it's not because God is dead, it's because these folks sitting around you are dead. And you ought to learn how to praise God in spite of poor example. That you got it right. You ought to praise him with all of your strength and with all of your power. Now you can't wait for people to pat you on the back and say you're doing a good job. Let me tell you, young people, I don't care who you dance with or who you dance for, you're going to attract a critic. If you go to the party and dance, do the wobble, they're going to talk about you. If you come to the church and dance for Jesus, they're going to talk about you. So choose your party well, get your dance on, praise the Lord while you can. Because one of these days, you saw these kids down here spinning around and that Shelly kicked her leg up and all that kind of stuff. One of these days, she ain't gonna be able to get that leg up there like that. No, no. All that jumping around and turning, I didn't turn around about 4 or 5 times and was able to just keep on going. No, the day is coming. You turn around too fast, you're gonna have to sit down and get your bearings back together again. Go on and praise the Lord in the days of your youth. But don't shout yourself out before you do the rest of the things that the Lord is calling you to do. Would you listen to this scripture? It's found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. It says, through Jesus. Therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Let me pause here and underscore the fact that the Lord likes a noisy crew. And sometimes you have to pull it from your will and not your emotions. Sometimes it is a sacrifice to praise the Lord. But the Lord wants the sacrifice. But listen now to verse 16. It starts off with a conjunction. It says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, notice the plural form of sacrifice, not just one type, but both type of sacrifices, God is pleased. Let's put it all together now. The Lord does want us to praise him with our lips, but he also wants us to praise him with our lives, with our good works, with our service. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. Junior Saints, listen to the pastor now. I appreciate your new songs. I like your energy. I like how you can go in. I like how you can just flow in the worship experience. I feel better when I get finished with some of this new stuff. But if I have to criticize, it is the deficit of service. You don't want to be guilty of shouting but no service. You don't want to come and shout yourself out before you get to Bible study, prayer meeting, and Sunday school. You don't want to come and spend all of your energy making noise in the mic and in the sanctuary, but have no energy to help somebody who's struggling alone on life's journey. The Lord wants both types of sacrifices. He wants us to come and make a joyful noise in the worship. And then he wants us to go and do a good work. Is something wrong when you shout about him on Sunday, but you never serve him on Monday? Something is wrong when he's worthy of the praise on Monday, but the only thing that brings you on Tuesday is practicing the songs you sang on Sunday. The God who makes you cry in the praise period ought to make you serve in the course of the week. I think we need to borrow from each generation. I think the senior saint ought to get some of the junior saint's energy. But I think some of the junior saints ought to get the senior saint's contribution to the church. I want you to hear me good now. It does not matter if you are a noisy spiritual midget. It's just as embarrassing if you are a silent spiritual midget. In other words, the Lord is not impressed when you come in here and just holler for 2 hours and don't even know what you are hollering about. He's not impressed when you holler for 2 hours and then you don't lead anybody to the Lord. You don't help anybody grow in the Lord. It's terrible to praise him and then be arrogant with one another. It's terrible to praise him and then ignore people who are hurting at the very door of the church. Praise ought to empower Christian service. The Lord has not given us such a lively worship experience just so we can feel good and escape our problems on Sunday. On the contrary, the Lord is trying to charge our spiritual battery so that we can run on and see what the end will bring. We used to put over the threshold of the doors of the sanctuary, enter to worship and depart to serve. Oh, how many years it has been since I've seen such a sign. But more important than the sign is our conviction. If you praise him, you ought to serve him. Well, that's it. I've got to finish now. Can't stay in Ezra chapter 3 another Sunday. But let me tell you, yes, there may be trouble in your life. Yes, family may be all jacked up. Yes, your money might be funny. Yes, your body may be wrecked with pain. But I still came by to tell you to join me in praising his holy name. Did you hear me? Because no matter how bad things are in your life, if you think about it, it could have been worse than it is. Oh, Lord, today, and if you give God some praise in here, you'll find out just as sure as storm clouds came into your life, if you praise him, those same clouds will go out of your life. Did you hear me? Let me put it like this. No matter how bad it is, it could have been worse, but it's gonna get better. Ooh, we all. It could have been worse, but it's gonna get better. Can anybody join me in anticipatory praise? Can anybody look down the line of time and see that God would not bring you this far just to leave you now? Yes, you might be drinking tears for water right now, but in the morning, if you keep the faith, joy, I wish you'd help me say joy, joy comes in the morning. Help me, help me, Bible readers. Weeping and wailing may endure the night, but what joy it will come. When will it come? In the morning, in the morning, in the morning. Hold on until the morning. Shout hallelujah. Even with small foundation, even with dreams deferred and dreams destroyed, even with overdue bills on your table, even with empty seats around the holiday table, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because joy, 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 coming in the morning. Now help me, help me, help me, help me. Reach over and tell somebody, joy, coming in the morning. Come on and help me. Tell somebody joy is coming in the morning. Be not dismayed. Whatever be tired, God will take care of you. Gonna tell somebody, God will take care of you. Go on and tell them, God will take care of you. Won't he do it? God will take care of you. The best is yet to come. If you can just keep the faith, if you can just hold on a little while longer, joy is coming in the morning. But you got a decision to make. How are you gonna get through the night? Are you gonna cry your way through? Or praise your way through? I've decided to praise my way through. Praise don't change my problems, but it sure make me feel better. I'd rather praise than cry. I'd rather praise than weep. I'd rather feel his presence than go out and get my head all bad. The best is yet to come. Choose to rejoice. Would you stand? The invitation is extended.